Questions from PMV members? And I'd like to start with a question about the new show.
About the new show?
About the news program. I guess I have two parts or two questions, mm-hmm. really. Have you had a measured reaction from the Washington, D.C. community to the show? Do you have any statistics on people listening, or did you in other way receive feedback from the community that they're turning into the show? And I also would like to know if it's a half hour or an hour newscast.
Last question first. The program is an hour. As I mentioned, it does incorporate Democracy Now!'s top stories. It incorporates Free Speech Radio News, Election Unspun. It incorporates original content, but we also utilize programs from our affiliates and other signal sites as well. So it really does reflect the network. The schedule's only been in place since April 6th.
Okay.
And we just got the first quarter of information. I just got that from Nathan today, so I'm really starting to take a look at that. In terms of feedback, frankly, there are people who love Democracy Now!, as I do. And what this spectrum today has replaced was our rebroadcast of Democracy Now! So, of course, there are some folks who would love to hear Democracy Now! 24/7. And so we did get some of that feedback. But we've also got feedback from folks who wanted some new content. That was an hour that they wouldn't listen because they had caught Democracy Now! In the morning. So we think it's the best of both worlds. You get the feature stories, top stories from Democracy Now! In case you missed them or want to rehear them, but it also allows us to get original content, focus on our local city and the issues surrounding Washington, D.C. And like I said, there's been a lot of energy. There's a team of interns that are now learning radio because of this new opportunity we've created. But it's too early to check the books because the books mm-hmm. are just coming out.
How many people are participating in the production of the show?
The executive producer is Askia Muhammad, who's actually doing the program right now. I would say there's probably a handful of interns that are working with them, a pool of engineers, one lead engineer, but a pool of other engineers who, again, are learning radio production.
Thank you.
Gloria
Minot.
Yeah, Gloria
Minot
is also involved.
Public affairs director, Gloria Minot, is involved as well.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Other questions from PMB members or national staff, Nafia?
I would like to add one small caveat.
That's another piece of the program that we do every Friday, is probably happening as we speak. It's called News Views. So it's a panel discussion that utilizes talents outside, both inside our station, but there are news people in D.C. that have things to say and need to be heard as well. So we also incorporate other energies in the News Views every Friday.
Thank you, Ron.
And a little caveat to this also, we want to do a listener survey based on the changes that we've made before the end of this year to assess where we are. When we really haven't gotten an accurate portrayal of where we are Arbitron-wise because the book came out in the spring exactly when we made our changes. We do expect some downturn in listenership because of the grid changes, but that's part of the process. Whenever you make grid changes, that's going to occur. It's certainly nothing that we're panicking over, but it is something that we're conscious of, and that's why a listener survey will help us move forward and tweaking the new schedule as we move forward into the next year.
I just add the anecdotal information that we track for a good month. After we implemented the schedule, the overwhelming general comments were positive. And, of course, there were specific, the negative comments usually were specific, tied to you move this program here from there to there, and I'm not happy about that. But the general feedback on the schedule was overwhelmingly positive.
Thank you. Afia?
One other quick thing.
Go ahead.
In November, we are planning a town hall meeting where we're inviting the entire broadcast community to come in and give us their views and give us their input as to what they want. That's planned for sometime in November.
And that's an LSB project. And our LSB is trying to be very, very proactive in this area. I'd also like to have Tiffany Jordan come up and say a couple of things, because she's going to have to leave shortly, unfortunately. She's got two young daughters that she has to attend to. And she can ask any questions you may have about development, and she can talk about where we are. Not strategically, but what we're facing.
Okay. I wasn't really prepared, so forgive me for being just a little bit nervous. Welcome to D.C., everyone.
Thank you.
Glad
Thank
to have you, you here. In terms of development, I would say across the board, in fundraising, in public broadcasting, we're all facing challenges. There is decline in terms of what donors are giving. We generally get a lot of multiple gifts from donors. We're seeing less of that. But we are trying to encourage them to give through sustaining gifts. We have inducements like our member card. We're looking at bringing lapsed people in using our member card. So we are looking at ways to try to attract and retain our members. We have two exciting fundraisers that we're introducing this year. The great WPFW Duck Race, which will be exclusive to this area, to the Washington, D.C. area proper. And it's great because it's going to engage everybody. It's going to engage our board, our on-air hosts, our volunteers, and most importantly, our listener supporters. So we're really looking forward to launching that particular fundraiser because it's going to be huge. And we're also going to be doing a WPFW casino night later on in the fiscal year towards the end. So we're looking forward to introducing both fundraisers, and we're going to tell you about all the great results.
So what is the duck race?
Eric, you know, Campbell mentioned the duck race in one of our national finance calls, and I got an email from someone. We oftentimes talk to each other while we're on these telephone conferences, and the person who was working several jobs said, you know, I'm losing it. I thought the guy from D.C. just said he was going to have a duck race. So.
They're rubber ducks.
Yeah. Oh, that explains it.
Actually, my questions are about that.
Who said?
Wendy.
Okay, but wait. Afia is next. Then I see Jamie. Then I see...
Can we ask Jim, what a duck race
we
is?
We are. I asked what a duck race is, but Afia's on the stack here.
I'm sending it to you right now.
Jim, Jamie, Wendy. If he would come.
You want Jim Brown?
Yes.
Jim?
You, in your comments, said that it's important that we do, that you all need us to do certain things to ensure your ability to do others. And my first question is what is it that you would have this board to do? What do you think would be most useful to you all's realizing your goals and objectives?
Ron can address this better, but the most important thing for us is that we're able to go out and start to look for property to purchase, and that we have the opportunity to negotiate the deals first and then present them to the board to hear for approval. We need that freedom. We need to have that, like, right now.
And let me elaborate on that. we're completely aware of the financial situation within the network. I mean, you know, everybody got to tighten their belt and things like that. We would love to have financial support from the network to do this, but we know that that's not in the cards unless something happens, you know, dramatically. We are confident that we can raise the money, but the license will be in Pacifica's name, of course, which means any deal that we try to strike with a developer or real estate agent or anything like that has to be signed off by the Pacifica National Board. So what we need is an assessment of where we are financially, not WPFW, but the network, so that if we can buy, then that's the avenue that we'll go for. If we can't and the network can't support a purchase and can only support a lease, we need to know that so that once again, as we embark on, not embark, but as we continue our capital campaign, we can adjust it and refine it to reflect that new paradigm. Right now, people are under the impression that we are trying to buy property. We certainly want to buy property. But once again, we have to deal with the realities of what the network is engaged in right now. So if we can get an answer to that question, what kind of financial is the network prepared to sign off on the pursuit of a purchase, or are finances such that we can only pursue a lease? And unfortunately, only you guys can answer that question, and that's the gist of it.
Thank you.
May I respond just a second?
Yes.
I'd just like to respond as executive director, and greetings, everybody. I was out here earlier in the year and met with Ron. We looked at properties. Just so you know, historically, all properties have been purchased at the local level. That was done through tremendous capital campaigns that lasted, for example, at KPFA, I think it was a 5 to 6 year capital campaign before the ground was even broken. The foundation never put any money towards any kind of purchase of any properties of the three that we own. The foundation and the network owns the property in Houston, owns the property in Los Angeles, and owns the property in Berkeley, where the national office is co-located. I think I've made this very clear to WPFW. I think the main thing that probably the foundation needs to be assured of is no matter what iteration, whether it is a purchase or a lease, that the not just the purchase price and not just what the lease will entail, but also all the internal reconfigurations that need to have happen, that all that is built not only into a capital campaign long range, not just a 3 year, but really a long range plan, and then how the station will be able to support the increase as well to the liabilities on the bottom line that that represents. So I'm just, I'm not saying thumbs up or thumbs down. I'm just trying to give a clear framing as the board considers that and as you move forward.
Okay.
Thank you,
I neglected in my opening remarks to reintroduce Nicole Sawaya, our executive director, Dan Siegel, writing up a contract as we speak, our foundation council. So there are two more people and faces that you can put in your head. So, okay.
I have a couple other questions. Can I ask them?
Go ahead.
Can you come back around? I wanted to ask, in looking at the at Nathan's report, it shows that your station is very male-dominated. Your listeners are primarily male, over 45. Okay, I'm sorry that I looked at the I'm sorry that I looked at the I'm recalling the wrong one because I'm not looking at it. And I wanted to know in your announcement, the second thing I wanted to know was in your announcement of new programming, do you have a process, and what is it that you decide what programs you're going to keep, change, or how do you get a new program?
We do have multiple layers of things that we look at. Bobby can explain it to you in a little more detail, but yes, there is a process, and I'll start with this and let Bobby continue. We do prioritize that new programming to make sure it includes program that we, number one, don't already have, and something that is of interest to our local community. And Bobby can extrapolate.
And let me just say off the top to give you the sense or the scale of what we did. We have 15 new programmers that are added to our body of programmers. We have 7 new programs. Ron mentioned one on ex-offenders, one dealing with LGBT issues, one dealing with poetry, one that explores progressive parenting, a new program that takes advantage 50% of the time of the rich resources in the archives, and the other half with original content coming from both within the station and even outside, as well as live performance. We've also incorporated comedy and then the Spectrum Today. So 15 new programmers, 7 new programs, and there's only 2 programs that no longer exist on that air, and that's because they weren't able to accommodate the options that we made available to them. What we did really was cut down on some multiple programs, on people who had more than one show. That created space for us to do some original content. We also cut down on the lengths of a couple of shows, which allowed us to incorporate new programs as well. So there wasn't a lot of hatcheting, very little. And had those programmers that, those 2 programmers that were offered a couple of other options, been able to take 1 or 2 of those, we wouldn't have had to lose anybody. So it was really done through, again, cutting down on multiple programs, hosting of multiple programs, and reducing some of the time that some of the programs lasted. So there really wasn't a lot of bloodletting in this effort, yeah, in my opinion.
Okay. I have a question, please.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the stand.
Oh, okay.
All right. I have Jamie, Wendy, and then Nicole.
And I was also reminded that we did coordinate very closely with our program committee as well.
Of the LSB.
Probably a month after I came on board, and we presented the first outline of the program schedule in November, and we ultimately implemented it in April.
And also to enhance the opportunities, that the new opportunities, once again, we are emphasizing the use of collectives wherever possible, because program grid is so limited and finite, we can get more people involved in programming by offering opportunities to collectives as opposed to just individuals. So that's something that we've done also.
Okay. Jamie.
Hi. Thanks so much for the presentation and the warm welcome. Let's see. I have one comment and one question. We first heard about the duck race on the national finance calls, and I thought it was a great idea, and I wish you lots of luck with it. I might buy a duck.
We're counting on 24 ducks out of this crowd.
Okay. The one question I have since it's great to hear that Pacifica stations are making programming changes and trying to evolve that way. I'm wondering, have you guys had any drives since you made the changes in the grid, and how did it do compared to previous iterations?
We've had 2 drives. We had our spring drive, okay, which was 1 month after the grid. That did fairly well. We did miss our goal. I forget by how much, but it wasn't a humongous amount. Okay.
Right.
Yes.
I'd say the last 2 drives, both the summer and the spring, we were closer in meeting our goals than the previous 2 drives with the old schedule.
Right. In fact, the summer mini drive, which was only several days, was extremely telling for us, because we also implemented some new ideas in terms of the players drive by doing some targeted programming and things like that. That worked very, very well for our public affairs grid. I mean, we came, our goal was $100,000. We finished out with $87,000. The music side of our grid didn't do as well, but we think that had more to do with some of the gifts that were offered and some other things that we can correct. But it was extremely gratifying to see that public affairs grid did extremely well on all days that it was available. So if that's an indication, then we're kind of confident that the fall drive will follow suit.
Just to add, Ron's correct about the music, but I just want to add, much of the music programming that occurred during our drive occurred during the off-peak hours, so the soft pitches. We went full force during our business day, and then later in the evening, we moved to our 800 number website focus. So it was a different focus.
Okay.
Could I ask one more follow-up?
Yes.
I'm curious, how long does the typical spring drive last at WPFW?
Our drives, we try to keep within a 14-day period, 2 weeks. We have had to extend our drives the past 3 drives, I believe, by a minimum of 3 days. Maximum of 3. Thank you. I used the word. Yeah, that's right. And she's right. A maximum of 3, because we really, we want to get out of these drives as soon as possible. We don't want to drag them on for obvious reasons. So, but sometimes when we feel we can make up whatever shortfall we have within that 3-day period, then we'll go ahead and do that.
Okay. Thanks. Jamie, you done? Okay. Next, I have Wendy, Nicole, and Doc, and Margaret. George.
So I'm Wendy Schrell, and I'm chair of the KPFT Development Committee. So I loved reading about the big duck race. And so for those that didn't hear what it is, actually, I guess they're looking for 20,000 people to sponsor a rubber duck for $5.
Yep.
I love the idea of a low cost thing like that. And that's what I want to say is that, you know, this is such a big drudgery of trying to raise money, and that's part of why it's getting less and less. We need to come up with creative ideas like this. I was thinking, as you know, it probably costs more than $5 to process a $5 duck. obviously, we're looking for people to buy a bunch of ducks, right?
Right.
Okay, so I'm, you know, I love the idea of having all the ducks in a row. Like, what they're also going to have a big race down the river with these. It's a physical thing. Your ducks are going down this river, and it's going to be a big media event. And, you know, we don't do enough for families and stuff like that. Your kids would love this. This will be super fun. So can we tie our ducks together if we get, you know?
No tying ducks together and things like that. And just so you know, folks, the potential revenue for this event is $100,000. That would be a tremendous boon to our operating capital. So once again, I appreciate you folks volunteering to each purchase a duck.
They're purchasing a duck.
Every member on the board is going to buy a duck for at least
$1,000. Wait, I'm not quite done.
Oh.
I'm going to be hitting everybody up for donations to PFW tonight, and part of that will be duck money, and part of that might be something else. But I have one more question. You guys have this online auction that I'm on your mailing list, so I get notified of it. I think this is the third or fourth time I've seen it. Mm-hmm. How well does that do?
It's not doing as well as we would like, but it is, once again, another vehicle, and we're trying to get better at it. We have one going on right now.
Right.
We're bringing in, you know, as many new items, you know, interesting items that we can.
Like, does it make $10,000?
Zataria?
The very first one we gave was the largest one.
Yeah.
And because it was so new, it was such a new concept to our business. That one did about 10,000.
Okay.
They haven't done as well since. Yeah. They've been in that still, the very last one, I think, may have made those stocks.
Mm-hmm. But you don't have to store the stuff or anything because it's all just like
all
on
the stuff you see
on
there. Yeah.
Oh, no. You're kidding. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So.
You may see some of it tonight, you know?
Yeah.
And we can't take bids from board members, too.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
But we are trying to get better at that, so we're not going to give up on that at all.
Okay.
We just want to enhance it and do it better.
Oh, of course you may. Nicole is next. Come here.
I just want to bring it back to the news, and I'm really happy to hear about how the news programming is going. You use Democracy Now. You also use FSRN, and just as a point of information, we hope to be able to sign a memo of understanding that I've been working on quite assiduously with FSRN. As you know, we won't be extracting any more money other than the MPPAG portion of the CSG grants that goes towards purchasing national programming. FSRN really only has access to two stations in our system, KPFK and KPFA, and it's just my hope that perhaps you will find a way to collaborate with FSRN reporters. There are many of them here in the Washington, D.C. area. And as well, as you know, the national contribution to Election Unspun was to bring Karen Miller on until Election Day, who I believe has worked in and out of your shop as well.
Started
so
right
that's
there,
just an update about FSRN. You do get, you know, a lot of bang for that buck, as do many of the stations. Right. Also reuse it, cut it up, and put those reports in. So let's make sure that we have kind of relook at that local arrangement and kind of opening up better channels of communication and perhaps some crossover there.
Okay. And now we have Evelyn Doc Bethune.
Greetings. You know,
hey,
after tea, y'all are my favorite station.
Oh, we understand.
I want to say, first of all, I'm on the schedule changes. Once you made that decision, did you like cross-pollinate in terms of marketing and getting information out to your listeners?
Yes.
And those paid and unpaid?
Yeah, in fact, we delayed implementation of the grid by what? Was it a month or 3 weeks? About a month, just so we could do that, to make sure that listeners were informed and, you know, and non-listeners were informed.
Okay. And my,
wait a minute, Bobby.
Oh, go ahead.
We also had the very nice benefit of the Washington Post being interested in what was going on, and there was a really nice large article in their Sunday paper. It wasn't before the grid change occurred, but it was no longer than about 10 days after. Okay. So that was a plus as well.
Okay. With the town hall meeting, explain to me once again that who's the town hall meeting for?
It is for us to ascertain from this community what their wishes are for the station, what they like, what they dislike, what issues they would like for us to cover more, things that they like, they don't like. That's what it's for. That would give us some sort of understanding of where we are within the community. I know that we have other avenues or other vehicles in which we're going to assess our audience, but this is just one step, and we're doing that and we're planning it so that we can have people there who want to offer their suggestions and their opinions and so forth about how we're doing.
Okay, and one other thing, a suggestion for fundraiser. The inauguration is in January.
Oh, yeah.
You should sell bed slots because people will be looking for places to stay.
All right.
Okay.
And by the way, folks, this is not the first town hall that we've done. And we're coming up in next week, isn't it?
Next Thursday.
Yes. Gloria Minot and the local station board and staff put together a forum, a town hall on... Yes, Gloria Minot, our public affairs director, can talk about that.
Yes, we have planned a series of town halls independent of the board. And the first one, well, actually the second one, the first one we did was around the taxicab changes in the district. The district had a zoning system that seemingly didn't work for some people, but then the new system they've gone to, which is a metered system, doesn't work for the people who drive the cabs. So we had a town hall in this building where we had the cab drivers and Billy Ray Edwards and everyone coming in to talk to us about how they feel about the changes. The one we're having next Thursday is on immigration. This is an election year. Congress either is unwilling or unable to reach a decision about the more than 12 million undocumented immigrants we have in this country. They work in just about every sector of our society. Some of them work without benefits and work long, hard hours. We also have a sector of this population that sector is highly educated, and they all make a contribution. So we have invited people from different sides of the spectrum to come in and talk to us about this issue because we feel it is very, very important. It not only impacts our health system, it impacts our schools, it impacts our everyday life in every way, and it's something that we have to give attention to. And we're even inviting those voices that we don't normally agree with, but we want to hear what they have to say. And if we don't meet and talk, we'll never know what's happening except from far away and talking at each other. So.
Bravo, bravo, bravo.
Global issue that's local, and I really salute you for getting out of the navel gazing that many towns town halls.
Yes, Lord.
Just congratulate you and thank you a million.
Look, just so you know, Gloria is so valuable and such a powerful commodity to WPFW that the day we had the town hall, the police wouldn't even give tickets to the they literally called us up and said they would not ticket any of the taxi drivers that were parking in front of the building so that they could attend the town hall.
That's great. Okay.
And the police were listening. So
Doc, are you done? Okay. We have two more comments, and then we have to go to public comment. So I'm going to try. I would appreciate very much if you would allow us to limit it to Margaret and George. Margaret.
Okay, thanks to all of you in D.C.
Hey,
it's really terrific to be here. And ditto on the town hall meetings. I mean, that's just great. You all are probably also aware of the motion that was passed by this board in relation to KPFK, but about the ICE raids that are going on. I don't know if likely they're happening in this area as well, but you might want to take a look at that motion, which did direct the management of KPFK to set up a system of, you know, announcing, you know, when the raids were happening and where the raids are happening. And now there's signs around the station. It's not implemented as much as we would like, but that came up from KPFK's LSB and then a motion here. So since you're having a town hall meeting on immigration, you may very well want to, you know, take a look at that. It might be useful for the work that you're doing here. I wanted to ask two things. One is that where you're located right here in Washington, D.C., I mean, with everything happening in the Capitol, and I wonder how much you have integrated that of D.C. being that kind of political hub in a way, and the kind of programming, in particular the public affairs programming that you're doing, because the rest of us, we're far away, you know, and you're right here. I'm just wondering what kind of access, you know, you have in terms of the press corps or, you know, getting into, you know, places that you could then just shoot out and send out to those of us out in the boonies like in Los Angeles. That's one question. Then I have a second.
All right. Well, first of all, what Nicole said about FSRN, all right, we do have a very small staff, okay? And if we have that kind of access to people that could go out and do that kind of reporting and things like that, we could do a much better job. So we're looking forward to working with FSRN because they have those people. Okay, we've always advocated that. That's one way. And you're right, we are in the nation's capital. A lot of things are happening. We do have to do a better job of bringing that stuff to the rest of the network because we are there. We believe that, you know, through our limited resources, we can do better. We will strive to do better. We also, I personally think that the Washington Bureau should be utilized much more than it currently is. Either utilized, you know, given some resources to operate, coordinate with FSRN or whoever. But we think that's a good way of also achieving the goals that you're talking about. So it's a combination of the national office and what we do here locally. Can we do it better? Yes.
Yeah, the second thing, very, very quickly, thank you, Ron. By the way, I've always wanted a rubber duck. I grew up in the global south, a little village. You know, we didn't have any of that stuff. So you read about, you know, these kids having rubber ducks, you know. So you could put me down for at least one rubber duck.
All right.
I wanted to ask, too, in terms of Spanish language programming, we do a show that comes out of KPFK that is, in fact, a national, international half-hour Spanish language broadcast. It comes on, you know, early in the morning, but I understand it's been picked up and used even in other countries. And I know that we've had some difficulty with other stations within the Pacifica Network picking that show up. And I wonder if it is on your grid or if you're considering it being on your grid or what do we have to do to get it on your grid?
It is not on our grid. We have been approached by the Latino Media Collective. Was that them at that meeting? Yeah, we have been approached by the Latino Media Collective, which we organized here at WPFW about 2 years ago. little over 2 years ago about that. We're not going to rule anything out, okay? If there's a way that we can bring that in and achieve some of the goals I assume the program has, which is to educate listeners about what's happening in the Latino Hispanic community. And unfortunately, a lot of our listeners do not speak Spanish. So, but there's a great concern about what's going on in that community. So if we can work out a way that we can do that and keep our listeners who want to know involved in that by doing it bilingually or whatever, then that's something we can put on our consideration list. But that's the gist of it right now. Yes, we do have a lot of interest from our listeners about what's going on in that community, but a Spanish-only language program, as I've said before, would prohibit many of our listeners from participating, and that's an issue for us.
Okay. George, I'm going to ask you.
Do you have access to people meters? I presume not, but are you expect to be getting access to people meters sometime in the near future, and would you be looking forward to using them if you could?
The people meters, are you talking about the new? We're supposed
John
to.
Gonna
yeah,
you
we're, yeah, it's getting installed tonight, in fact.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It's on the way.
Okay.
George.
It's on the way.
Okay.
And by the way, folks, can I have just a couple of seconds? Because I would like to bring Katia Stead up, because we have some tremendous new media partnerships with some organizations here in the city. And I'd just like to inform you about those, because that's been a great tool of outreach for us. Katia?
I'd like to say also that Katia was very instrumental in getting this site for us.
Okay. Exactly.
Thank you.
Well, I'm even more nervous than Tiffany was, because I had no idea.
You have no idea how nervous we are.
But actually, the Historical Society of Washington has really been wonderful as a partner, and it really started where we wanted to find a facility where we could have public programs that married the artistic with the political. You know, we're trying to do that a lot more. We haven't gotten there yet, frankly, in all of our media partnerships. We still are mainly partnering with artistic organizations, but I have to say, to our credit, we're partnering with all four major arts presenting institutions in the city: the Kennedy Center, Washington Performing Arts Society, University of Maryland's Clarice Smith Center, and Strathmore Center for the Performing Arts. Plus, we partner with smaller venues. We partner with community organizations like the sponsors of this Sunday's Black Love Festival. And by the way, that is supposed to be, I don't have the numbers, but it's supposed to be the largest AIDS mobilization in the city. So on Sunday, they'll be doing testing. They have a children's pavilion, you know, very committed to community. We're inaugurating, although we've done things with the D.C. Green or the Green Festival that will come here in November before, we, for the first time, have an official partnership with them modeled on what I think it is KPFA has in the Bay Area. So we're very excited about that. I don't know what else.
Yes.
So that, you know, unless you have any questions, that's kind of where we are. And we'll build on that. And again, we're trying to bring in more political organizations as we grow.